Please be seated and pray with me. Lord God, what a sweet truth to remember that night when you came to earth to die. Lord, as we come to this table to remember that specific thing, Lord, help our hearts to be drawn to you. Help us to not take for granted what a sweet truth and sweet time this is, Lord. In your name, amen. This month, our kids and Next Generation Ministries are memorizing 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so I wanted us to meditate on that as well this morning. So if you have a Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians 5. And if you don't have a Bible, there are men here that would love to put one in your hands. Just raise your hand and they'll bring one to you. And if you don't own a Bible, this is our gift to you. Before we get to verse 17, I want to see how Paul sets this verse up. So let's look at verse 14 first. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer." Paul is building an argument. Christ died for all who believe, and because he died, everything changes. Look at what Paul says changed. First, how we live changes. Verse 15 says, "So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." Before Christ, you lived for you. Your goals, your comfort, your kingdom was all for you. And after Christ, you live for him. The second is we see how we see changes. Verse 16 says, "From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." We don't evaluate people by worldly standards anymore. We don't even see Christ by worldly standards anymore. Everything is different. And then Paul lands on verse 17 with a therefore. And this ties it all together. Because Christ died, because everything has changed, because we don't live the way we did, because we don't see the way we saw, there's a declaration. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. There are three things about this new creation that I want to highlight. The first one is the condition. Paul starts by giving a condition here. If anyone is in Christ. Notice Paul doesn't say if anyone tries hard enough, or if anyone cleans up their life, or if anyone checks these boxes. The condition is if you are in Christ. This is Paul's favorite way to describe a Christian. In fact, he uses this phrase about 75 times in his letters. To be in Christ means you are united to Jesus by faith. You're connected to him. His death counts for you. His righteousness covers you. And how do you get there? It's not by effort. It's not by performance. It's by faith. You trust that what Jesus did on the cross was enough, and God places you in his Son. This is the great dividing line of all humanity. There are only two kinds of people on this planet, those who are in Christ and those who are not. Those in Christ has everything Paul is about to describe, and those who are outside have none of it. There's no partial credit here. You're either in Christ or you're not. So if you're in Christ this morning, what Paul says next is for you. Once that condition is met, he makes a declaration about you. You are a new creation. This is the main point. If you're in Christ, here's what God says about you. You're a new creation. You're not improved. You're not upgraded. This isn't a better version of you. You are new. Paul uses creation language intentionally. This is Genesis 1 language. Just as God spoke the universe into existence out of nothing, he is spoken something new into existence in you. The same power that said, "Let there be light," has done work in your soul. Charles Spurgeon describes it like this: "Grace does not reform us, but it recreates us. It does not pare away here and there an evil blemish, but it implants a holy and divine principle which goes to instant war with all indwelling sin." This is a declaration of your identity. This isn't aspirational, as if Paul is saying you should try to become a new creation. It's not progressive, as if you're slowly becoming a new creation. It's definitive. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. This is what theologians call your positional reality. Does a Christian still struggle with sin? For sure. Paul is clear about that throughout all of his letters. We live in a mixed condition where the flesh wars against the spirit. You feel that war. I feel that war. But our identity has changed. Our status before God has changed. We are not who we once were. Think about that. God doesn't look at you and see a sinner trying to do better. He looks at you and sees a new creation. That's the declaration of God that he made. You are in Christ. You are a new creation. And then Paul goes on to explain it. Paul does not leave us wondering what this new creation is. He explains it. The old passed away, the new has come. Pay attention to the verb tenses here. Passed away is an aorist verb. An aorist tense describes an action as a completed one-time event, like a snapshot, not a video. It happened, it's done. The door is slammed on that old thing. They didn't slowly fade away, they're gone. Have come is a perfect tense. The perfect tense describes a completed action with ongoing results. Something happened in the past and the effects continue into the present. Think of it as a door that's open and stays open. Really, if we think about it, it's like we were once a prisoner on death row. We've been tried, convicted, and sentenced. Our identity is a condemned criminal. Then we get a full pardon. And the moment that pardon is signed, our status is changed. Our status has passed away. We are no longer the condemned person. Our new status, pardoned and free, is not temporary. It remains. It's a completed action with ongoing results. And that's what happened to each of us that are in Christ when we became in Christ. The old passed away. Our guilt, our condemnation, our standing as a sinner before God is gone. And the new things have come. Forgiveness, righteousness, a new identity. And those new things remain. This isn't something we're waiting for. This isn't something we're hoping for. This is something that already happened and will continue into eternity. Now look at the word behold. God doesn't say new things have come. He says, behold, new things have come. Paul says, stop, pay attention, marvel at this. This is a word of astonishment. Paul wants each reader to be absolutely stunned by this reality. We were dead. We're now alive. You were outside of Christ. You are now in him. Behold, look at what God has done. We get so familiar with the gospel that we lose our wonder. We hear new creation and nod. It's not ordinary. This is the most extraordinary thing that could ever happen to a human being. God took a sinner and made them new. And this should never stop being amazing to us. So why do we talk about this when we come to the Lord's table? Because the bread and the cup will take us back to when this new creation became possible. Christian, Christ died for you. That's what we remember this morning. The body was broken for you. The blood was poured out for you. The death that made your new life possible happened at the cross. So when you hold the bread, you're holding a reminder that the old passed away. The guilt was nailed to the cross and your condemnation died with Christ. And when you drink the cup, you're proclaiming that the new things have come, the new covenant in his blood, new life, new identity, new standing before God. Christian, if you trust in Christ, this is for you. You are a new creation. Let these elements remind you of who you are, not because of what you did, but because of what he did. However, if you have not put your trust in Christ, if you've not recognized your sin and repented of it, then this time is not for you. Let the elements pass by. Taking them would be claiming a reality that isn't yours to claim. Let me be clear. This isn't what makes someone a Christian. What makes someone a Christian is putting their faith in Christ. And you have an opportunity to do that now. But if it's not you, please let the elements pass by. The same Jesus whose death we're about to proclaim offers to make you new this very moment. Old things can pass away today. New things can come today. Turn from your sin and trust him. Men, can you pass the elements? And people, the rest of you can take the elements on your own this morning. I'll come back and close our time in prayer.